Welcome to the Space Show, Susan.
Thank you very much.
What's HiShot?
HiShot is all about the flight test of a new form of supersonic propulsion system called a scramjet engine.
And what's scramjet?
Well, scramjet's an acronym for supersonic combustion ramjet. Another name commonly used to describe this sort of vehicle is an air-breathing engine. And basically, these vehicles operate at very fast speeds of the order. Or our engine was actually designed to run at Mach 7.6, and that's about 2 kilometres a second, which is incredibly fast. Basically, these things are going so fast, these engines are moving so fast, that the air that is rammed into the combustion chamber, and the ram is the ram part of the ramjet I'm talking about, it's basically it doesn't sense the vehicle coming because things are going so fast that it literally hasn't got time to get out of the way of the vehicle. All the air is just pushed into the combustion chamber. Okay, and then this action increases the temperature and also, you know, increases the density of the oxygen in the combustion chamber. And as you know, you require oxygen, fuel and heat for combustion to occur. The ramming part of the ramjet basically gets the temperature and gets the oxygen level there. If you inject fuel into this flow stream, get combustion occurring automatically, and that's what a scramjet does. It's a very simple, it sounds simple. Aerodynamically, it's very difficult to achieve, you know, this happening very fast, because what you've got to get happen is the fuel actually to mix with the heated air. Okay, to get the combination right, to get the temperature right for all these, you know, you've got to get all these things right before the combustion will occur. But that's what a scramjet engine basically is. It's an air-breathing engine.
And no one's done this before.
No one successfully completed a flight test of these engines. Scramjets have been you know, the subject of research in shock tunnels around the world. These shock tunnels basically simulate high-speed environment. But no one's actually ever taken it from the shock tunnel and into real flight to see if it actually works through, you know, through the atmosphere.
So you took this experiment out to Woomera and put it on a rocket.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Why did you need a rocket?
We needed a rocket to get our engine up to the design speed. Okay, our scramjet engine worked, at, as I said before, at Mach 7.6. Okay, so we needed to get it up to the speed before the flow conditions were right, such that the engine would work. The rocket could get us to those speeds, basically. So we, you know, literally stuck our engine on the front of the rocket, used a parabolic trajectory of the rocket. Basically, it went up to maximum altitude of about 300 kilometres and a range of about 373, I believe, kilometres. It was parabolic, basically on the way up, you know, the rocket powered for 40 seconds, which took it up to about an altitude of 80k. It coasted for the rest of the journey. Okay, it was a full 10-minute flight. Mm-hmm. On the way back down, at about an altitude of about 37 kilometres, it reached its design speed of Mach 7.6. Okay, and it was at this altitude and at this speed where our engine fuel was injected rather into the engine, into the combustion chamber, and combustion occurred.
Oh, great. And it worked.
It works. It's
fantastic.
Telemetry was received the whole way, I mean, throughout the whole 10 minutes of the flight, basically. And our experiment was basically transmitting pressure measurements, temperature measurements, all sorts of things. And we could determine from that that combustion indeed occurred.
And as we said, no one's done this before.
No one successfully completed a flight test of this type of engine at these speeds.
So you must be getting quite a bit of world attention.
No, we actually drove back from the launch the day after it happened. So for 2 days, we were basically out of contact. When we arrived back at the university, our media lady was there, and she basically told us how widespread this thing, you know, or how, where it had reached. And we'd made the Hindu Times, I believe, in India. We were on Space Daily in the States. An auntie in Canada had told us, you know, had told me, you know, what she had heard. So it basically ran around the world. It was on the BBC in London. You know, it attracted a lot of interest.
Yeah. Now, this success didn't come overnight. You'd been working on it some time, hadn't you?
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, scramjets have been around for 40-odd years.
Well, the idea of them, exactly.
Yes. University of Queensland have been researching strongly into them for the past 18 to 20 years. It was only middle of last decade, actually, that a scramjet engine actually flew, and I say that in inverted commas, in the shock tunnel. Okay, actually, a design was produced, and which actually went forward in the tunnel. So it basically had more thrust than drag. And it was this design that was flown in the High Shot Flight Program.
And you've been working on that at the University of Queensland?
Yeah, that's correct, at the University of Queensland, the T4 shock tunnel there. I've been I was a member of the team for about two and a half years. Alan Paul, the project leader, has been involved in scramjet research for 15 odd years. So there's a lot of history at the university.
Yes, you've also got someone called Ray Stalker there.
Oh, Professor Ray Stalker. He is the father of scramjet technology, really. He came from ANU, I believe. He's worked all around the world. He's a guru in this area. He founded the research team at the University of Queensland a number of years ago, and Alan Paul was a student of his.
Okay. What sort of technologies did you have to master in order to get to this stage?
A lot of
the main ones.
The main ones. A lot of research done in the tunnel mastered the technologies required to measure pressure. And every, I mean, because as you can imagine, you require sensors and instrumentation to react very fast. Okay, in this sort of flow field, supersonic flow going through the combustion chamber. So you've got to have sensors to react to you know, react very quickly. A lot of research was done in that to really determine what the flow field, you know, was like. With the combustion chamber, so that it was a lot of work done on that. A lot of work done in the development of the facility, of the shock tunnel facility as well. You know, to get the background research into you know, to basically to get the scramjet engine working in the tunnel, as well as that, to get the scramjet from the tunnel from the lab to the launch pad required a heck of a lot of work too. I mean, that was just, I think that was not, I wouldn't say underestimated, but it wasn't foreseen, you know, the amount of work required to get it there, and that just basically, yeah, it was all part of the flight test, and there was a huge learning curve, and I think a huge, it's a huge asset now for future flight tests.
And speaking of the future, where to next?
Where to next? Well, the university is still analysing the data from the second launch. As I said, it did look good, combustion did occur. There's a lot, heck of a lot of data there. I think really, after the full analysis of that done, that will determine the next step. Basically, I mean, we've basically shown that combustion can occur in real flight at supersonic speeds. There was no thrust surface in the back of this vehicle. There's a pure exhaust in the back, so the next, you know, step could be to put a thrust surface to see how it does perform, to measure the thrust, things like that. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of small steps to be done before you get a vehicle that can take people from London to Sydney or indeed launch a satellite. But this is indeed the first step in getting there.
Okay, so looking further ahead, where can this hypersonic flight take us? I mean, what could it be used for?
Sure. Well, the University of Queensland's goal is to develop a scramjet engine to be integrated with the launch vehicle to launch small payloads, small satellites into
orbit. Small satellites
into
space.
Yeah, basically, yeah. That's their aim.
So that'd work during atmospheric flight, and you presume you switch over to a rocket for the final stage.
Exactly. These engines would probably, you know, will have to work in the atmosphere. So perhaps up to an altitude of 50 kilometres. Mm. But the beauty, I mean, the main benefit of the scramjet engine, as I said, it's an air-breathing engine, so is the total reduction in the amount of oxygen you need to carry on board, and that's the main thrust, if you pardon the pun, of this research.
And how did you personally get into this line of research?
Personally, I have a mechanical engineering background. I've always had a love of aircraft and anything that flew, that flies. entered mechanical engineering, did all the, you know, aerodynamic subjects, things like that, went on to do further research in that area. My lab was actually very close to the High Shot team lab, and I was just, you know, extremely interested in the project. And at the end of my PhD, was offered a position on the team.
And what are you doing now?
At the moment, I've moved to BAE Systems in Adelaide.
Okay, and any message to any young people coming through school and so on as to whether this is a viable option for them?
Oh, incredibly viable. I mean, I would never have imagined 10, 15 years ago I'd be, you know, in the field that I'm now, but I mean, it's what I love to do, and I think you've got to follow what you want to do and what you love doing, and this type of research is very, very real and very viable in Australia.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight on the Space Show, Susan.
Thank you.